With a sigh, he looked away from the screen. He shook his head back and forth slowly as he began to pace. Thoughts raced through his mind. It's like nothing ever changes. Every day, it's the same thing again and again, constant fighting. And not just between the nations. Even families now are war zones. Family, supposed to be a safe place, not a battleground. There's just so much pain and suffering. Disease is rampant. Every day, hunger takes more and more. He glanced back at the screen. Are we really doing any good? What he did, does it even help? Is it making any difference whatsoever? You're pacing again, came a voice that broke through his musings. Well, I guess it's become a habit of mine, he said, smiling at the individual who had interrupted his thoughts. Well, it tends to happen every time you spend so much time watching that screen. Well, I suppose it does. But doesn't it bother you? I mean, after everything that's been done, I mean, just look for yourself. He angrily waved at the screen. Yes, the world is growing old like a garment. But now it's not just the nations, he said through clenched teeth. It's the people, even the families. I know, you're right. The love of men has grown cold. He asked the question again, not to himself this time, but out loud to his friend. Are we really doing any good? Does it make a difference? He looked at his friend with pleading eyes. I think a lot of people are asking that same question. Maybe you should go down again and see. The song drifted through the room. Lauren gazed at the Christmas tree, sparkling all red, green, blue, and gold. Her dad walked through the room and spoke. "You don't hear that old Christmas tune, that old carol on Christmas programs most times. I always thought that was a very sober Christmas song. I think most people prefer the happy songs." "I suppose so," Lauren said, sounding rather sober herself. "Are you doing okay?" her dad asked, tussling her hair, and then realizing that she might be too old for that. "I'm fine," she replied by instinct, even though she was pretty sure it was a lie. "Well, I've never known you to look so serious before on Christmas Eve. You love this time of year," he said with a smile. "I'm not a kid anymore, Dad," she said evenly. He took a long look at his daughter. She was right, of course. He sometimes forgot. Or maybe he just didn't like the thought of her growing up. Lauren walked away and began looking at their nativity set. And a thought slammed into his mind. "She knows." But he quickly buried the thought and forced a cheerful sound to come from his throat. We'll be leaving soon. Hopefully there'll be a good turnout tonight. She didn't answer, but focused on the familiar figures in front of her. The ceramic figures were beautifully carved and painted by her mom years ago. She gazed at the scene before her, and as she did, a song drifted to her ears from the TV. Two young gals were singing on a Christmas special. Lauren watched the snow falling outside as they drove to church. Her sister chatted away in the seat next to her. Emily's questions came at such a rapid pace that her parents could barely get a chance to answer. I wonder what Aaron's wearing tonight. What do you think we're going to sing? When do Grandma and Grandpa come over? What's the earliest that we can wake you up tomorrow? Finally, Emily took a breath, and their mother broke in with a question of her own. "Well, Emily certainly is excited for tomorrow. Lauren, what are you most looking forward to about Christmas?" "I don't know." Lauren kept staring out the window. Now, a mother is able to hear even what is not said. And this mother was no different. The tone in her oldest daughter's voice caused a lump to catch in her throat. When she could talk again, she asked another question, not entirely sure if she wanted to know the answer. "What's wrong? You haven't seemed yourself today." But just as she asked the question, then another question echoed in her mind. "Does she know? We've tried so hard to keep it from her." But before Lauren could answer, another song came on the radio. "Oh, I love that song," Emily bounced in her seat. "Dad, turn it up." The church was full of members and guests. They weren't sure that they would find a place to sit until an old man with a long gray coat stood up from his aisle seat and invited them into the pew that he was sitting. Dad started a bit, wondering how the old man knew they were behind him, because he had not turned around to see them searching for a place. Mom frowned. "I don't think we'll all fit in there," she whispered. "Nonsense," the old man replied with a wink. "Plenty of room at this inn." Unbelievably, there suddenly was plenty of room for all of them, including the kind old man. They took their newfound seats. And Lauren glanced over at her parents in the pew. It was just as she figured. No hand-holding like they used to in Christmases past. Even in a cramped-for-space pew, they still made a space between themselves that never used to be there before at church. Her mom sat with her arms folded, staring straight ahead. If anyone caught her eye, her face would break into a broad smile, and she would wave. But the smile disappeared all too quickly. Her dad seemed to slump down into the pew, mainly looking at his feet. "I can't believe this is happening," Lauren thought. "How can they do this? What is going on?" She wanted to scream out her questions, but of course she didn't. This was church, after all. That would be frowned upon. And of course, it was Christmas Eve. So instead of screaming, she decided to listen to the pastor. He spoke about the power of the Christmas story to change lives. She almost laughed out loud. Everything inside of her wanted to cry out. If this Jesus story could change lives, why? Why was hers falling apart? What good is this faith stuff if things like this still happen? The questions danced in her mind as the pastor said amen and the closing song began.
We would like to invite the congregation to sing along with us, number 132, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
Oh,
Lauren watched her mom and dad visiting with the other churchgoers in the foyer, some longtime friends and some newcomers. How can they talk to everyone like nothing is happening? How come no one else notices? Doesn't anyone care? Lauren looked for Emily. That was her job after church, to keep an eye on her sister. Now, this was not an easy task. Emily and her friends were zipping around playing tag or some other such child's game. She sighed as she spotted Emily, twirling and laughing with Aaron. Lauren was surrounded by people, but standing with her arms crossed, she felt all alone. "You don't like to sing at church," a voice spoke, causing her to jump. She turned and saw the old man who had shared his pew. He smiled at her through his snow-white beard. "Is it just Christmas songs you don't sing, or all church songs?" "What? No, I sing at church." "Then why didn't you sing tonight?" Lauren decided to take a risk. She had no idea why. She didn't take it for courage, maybe desperation. "I guess I didn't feel like singing." "'Tis a shame. Christmas songs are some of the best. My favorite is Angels We Have Heard on High." "Do you have a favorite?" I don't know. Look, sir, I guess I don't feel much like talking tonight either." "I understand. I find it hard to talk too when I'm upset." Lauren blinked. "What makes you think I'm upset?" "Well, you told me as such. You normally sing at church, but not tonight. You don't feel like talking. Now, I'm old, young lady, but I do know that lots of teenage girls love to talk. So I don't need to read minds. I just need to listen. Care to tell an old man why you're upset on Christmas Eve?" She stared at her parents, now across the room from each other, in two different conversations. She decided she'd come this far. "It says in the Bible that Jesus helps people, right?" "I've read that," replied the old man. "And people that believe in Jesus are supposed to love and forgive, right?" "Yes, that's in there too." "Then I guess I either don't believe the Bible, or I don't trust people who believe the Bible." She sighed, looking back and forth from her mom to her dad. A deep sadness washed over the face of the old man. "It's just not fair." Lauren almost whispered, and then she spoke up. "Look, I got to get going. My parents are leaving. Thanks for, well, just thanks. Sorry if I ruined your night." "No, my dear, my night is not ruined. It's only beginning." Lauren reached out to stop Emily, who happened to be zooming by. "Come on, it's time to go home." "Aww." Lauren forced a smile. "The sooner we get home, the sooner we get in bed, the sooner it's Christmas." "Wahoo!" shouted Emily. "Let's go!" Then she faked a yawn. "I sure am getting tired." It wasn't a quiet car ride home. That was not possible with Emily. The other three passengers let the youngest do all the talking. But even Emily quieted down and began to watch the snow gently falling as another song came across the airwaves.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
The mother closed the door to their bedroom and turned to her husband. I think Lauren knows. Well, why do you say that? He asked, although he had been thinking the same thing. She's just not acting like herself. When she looks at me, it's like she can see through me, through us, she added. We may have fooled everyone else, but I think she has it figured out. He waited for a moment to see if his wife would say more. Then he spoke. So, what do you want to do? Should we tell her? Well, I suppose we have to, but let's wait until after Christmas. I don't want to ruin it for her. He sighed, shaking his head at the thought of the future conversation. I suppose there's no good day to find out your parents are separating. But you're right. We should wait, he said. Then, hey, do you think? Fine, she said, interrupting. It's settled then. We'll wait to talk to her. She walked into the bathroom and shut the door. He took that as his signal to leave and head to the guest room. He walked through the halls. He peeked into Emily's room. She was already fast asleep. He smiled at his girl, who played hard and slept hard. He walked past Lauren's room and paused. With everything he had, he wanted to go into her room and tell her that everything was going to be okay. But he kept walking. He shut the door to the guest room and finished his sentence that he had started in the bedroom. Do you think that this is a mistake? Maybe we should talk to someone. Maybe we should get help. Oh, why didn't I just say that to her? Oh, what's the use? He said, slumping down into a chair. How did we get here? She leaned into the bathroom door and waited for her husband to leave the bedroom. This had become their uneasy routine every night for the past several months. She began to wash her face when she noticed a picture on the wall. It had hung there for so long, she rarely saw it anymore. But tonight, she looked at it for what felt like the first time. It was a picture of them on their first anniversary. She put her head in her hand, trying in vain to hold back tears. How did we get here?
Remember last Christmas Eve, when we sat next to our first tree, ornaments reflected light of a candle in the night. And I gave you a music box. Back then it seemed like so much. We watched it go round and round as the melodies they unwound. But all these things are now long gone and not to be wished upon again. But the music box continues to turn. The candle in the window continues to burn. But I know they're just memories, like Christmas past and you. Held the room in warm embrace as we watch the fire glow. Our hearts held each other close. But now upon this Christmas Eve, the candle wax of melted dreams and ornaments of shattered glass now belonging to the past. All these things are now long gone and not to be wished upon again. But the music box continues to turn. The candle in the window continues to burn. But I know they're just memories, like Christmas past and you and me. I miss you, love, and it's been far too long since I last laid eyes on you. I've got the lights upon the Christmas tree. I've got the candle lit for you to see. And beside this window, I will wait. For inside this night, I know it's not too late.
Lauren had listened as her dad made his nightly pretense of going into their bedroom and then sneaking out to sleep in the guest room. So much for Christmas miracles, she said, as she turned off her music box and began to put her coat back on. She quietly slipped down the hall to the front door. In moments, she was outside in the cold night air, her boots crunching in the snow. She didn't know where she was going. She just knew she had to walk. She used to always stay up late on Christmas Eve years ago, her childhood excitement making it impossible to find sleep. I wish I could go back, she thought. I wish we could all go back. After walking for so long that she'd lost track of time, she finally stopped, and brushing snow off a bench, she sat down. In the silence of that moment, her emotions that she had worked so hard to hold in check were now threatening to burst forth from her like a dam.
Thank you.
"Sometimes it's best to let it out," came a voice behind Lauren. A figure brushed more snow off the bench and sat down next to her. She quickly wiped the tears away and tried to compose herself. She looked at this intruder sitting next to her. He looked familiar, an old man with a snow-white beard. Recognition sprang in her mind, the guy from church. "Well, you're not Santa Claus," Lauren said, as only a teenager can. He smiled. "No, I am not. Well, not even Santa Claus can bring me what I want for Christmas." "I know." The old man looked at her with caring eyes. Eyes that seemed far too young for someone so old. Before she knew what was happening, she was telling this man, this stranger who seemed to care, she was telling him everything in her heart. Everything that had been bottled up for so long sprang forth. Her emotions could not be held back anymore. Disappointment in her parents, anger at them, herself, at everyone. And then she tried not to say it. She knew she shouldn't say it, especially not to a guy who was at church tonight, but it exploded out of her anyway. "Why does God let this happen? If he's really there, why doesn't he do something? It's not fair. Doesn't he care? I just don't understand." The old man waited to see if there was more to come out, waited until he knew she could listen. "People lose their way sometimes, even parents. You're right. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Have you ever read the Christmas story?" She brushed hair out of her eyes to look at him. "Of course I've heard it. We've gone to church my whole life. Not that it's done much good now. I didn't ask if you'd heard it. I'd asked if you'd read it." "Well, I suppose so. Everything was perfect that night," she said, remembering the figures in the nativity. "Perfect?" The old man shook his head. "You call that perfect? Having an emergency delivery in a stable, surrounded by manure and animals. That night was far from what one would call perfect." "But," Lauren started, but her voice trailed off. She'd never thought of that. She began to think of what that scene must have really been like. "But it all worked out okay," Lauren said. "The story is so peaceful. Mary and Joseph never separated." "Well, no, they didn't," said the old man. "But peaceful? Not hardly. That's the problem. Most people stop reading the story too soon. Jesus' birth story ends with Mary and Joseph running for their lives down to Egypt. But the part that rarely gets mentioned at Christmas time is all the babies around Bethlehem who were killed by Herod. No, my dear, Jesus did not come into a perfect, peaceful world. That was exactly why he came, to fix that which was broken. But what difference has it made? She asked, although she was beginning to know the answer. The old man smiled. I was asking myself that exact question earlier. But imagine what the world would look like if Jesus hadn't come. December 24 and 25th would just be like any other day of the year. Think of the songs that would have never been sung. This world would be much different had he not come. But you're right. This world is still not perfect, and bad things still do happen, even to his followers, even to families. But do you remember the promise that baby gave to the world after growing up? Do you know what Jesus said right before he left? Lauren wiped away a tear and found herself holding her breath. I am with you always, he said, even to the end of the age. That means Jesus is with you, even when your world comes crashing down. The old man could see it in her, even as she began to feel it. It wasn't a floodlight, but there was a flicker in her. He smiled at her as he saw what he was longing to see. Hope. Now, 'tis getting late. You better head home. Thank you for listening. Do you think it's going to be okay? The old man stood up with her. I know this. You are going to be okay. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening and sharing with me. She extended her hand. My name's Lauren, by the way. He warmly shook her hand and replied with a smirk. Hello, Lauren, by the way. Lots of folks call me Gabe. Merry Christmas, Lauren. Lauren looked down the snow-covered road that would take her home. She turned back to Gabe, intending to give the old man a hug. Merry Christmas. She stopped short, as no one was there. She turned all around looking, but the old man was gone. And what was even more strange, she saw no tracks in the snow. Lauren quietly shut the front door behind her. She slipped down the hallway, trying not to wake their dog, Tex. Just then, she heard the door to her parents' room close. She saw the glow of light coming out from under the door. She knew she should go to bed, but she couldn't help herself. She slipped down the hall and put her ear to the door. She knew she'd get in trouble for eavesdropping, but she just had to listen. Then, she put her hand to her mouth, as from the other side of the door, she heard both her parents say, at the exact same time, "Can we talk?" Lauren closed her eyes and smiled. As she got into bed, she said a prayer. A short prayer, a simple prayer, but sometimes those prayers are the best ones we say. Thank you, Jesus. Merry Christmas. Gabe stood again in the viewing room. He looked at the scenes as they flashed on the screen. Fix all the problems, his friend asked, entering the room. You know the answer to that question. It's not time for everything to be fixed, but they do have what they need. His friend smiled broadly. And what is that, Gabriel? Gabriel lowered himself to a knee. They have what you went there to give, my Lord. they have hope. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that the story is still being written, that no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter what chapter, no matter what page, you're still at work, you're still working. And as this Christmas season is upon us, Lord, may we have that joy of knowing you. May we cling to that hope that we so desperately need in a world that is not always peaceful on silent nights. And Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming to this world. Thank you so much, Lord, that you're still active in this world through your angels, through your Holy Spirit, and through us. So bless us, Lord, that we may be a blessing. Empower us, Lord, that we might be able to share that joy with others and tell them the wonderful news of a Savior who came down and a Savior who's coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those who had hope in their heart said, Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day.